it's not anything we haven't said before. This is obviously in relation to the proposed minimum wage increase of 9.9% proposed. We opened this discussion back in February when it was proposed to do a double increase this year. And there was a lot of outcry about having a double increase in 1 year. So at the time, it was agreed that there would only be the increase in April. Clearly, you know, it was kicking the can down the road to a certain extent because we now have the proposal to put another wage increase in April 2026 at 9.9%. The noise that we're hearing from the businesses affected is no different to what we were hearing back in February this year in terms of how much it will affect their business going forward if this increase is to take place.
The Chamber has called the increase unbearable for some employers. Do you accept, though, that many staff on minimum wage would argue that it's still far below what's needed for a decent standard of living?
Yeah, we are in a really difficult predicament at the moment. A 9.9% increase is three times current inflation. What it does is it risks higher prices in businesses like retail, hospitality, and fewer jobs because these businesses will not be able to sustain the employees that they have. So fair pay is really important, but the changes have got to be sustainable, and it's just not manageable. What we're worried about is that the very people that are going to benefit from having a higher wage may not end up with a job because these businesses simply cannot afford it. What we need to do is look beyond wages and look at the real kind of cost pressures on families. So, you know, housing, energy and food, they're the areas that weigh most heavily on households and employers. So we need to look at a review of the domestic economy, essentially, to see how we can tackle these costs rather than just consistently putting up minimum wage.
I'll come to some of those points in just a moment, but you started off by warning that it could lead to some job losses, closures, or even higher prices. Some might say that the same warning surface whenever wages rise. What makes this time any different?
Well, you know, it is different because minimum wage is just getting higher and higher. And as I've already said, you know, it's three times the rate of inflation. It's not a sustainable rate anymore. It's just getting higher and higher and higher. You know, we need these decisions to be made more on reliable data rather than just consistently putting it up. And the figures just aren't lining up anymore like they used to. We're looking at, you know, basing it on the median wage, and this is what was proposed and came in this year. But the median wage is skewed between the public and private sector. There's a big gap. There's a £196 gap on a weekly wage. So merging these has distorted the picture. So we've got to look at it in a different way.
Could some businesses simply need to modernise or become more efficient than relying on keeping wages low to survive?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are efficiencies to be had, but the businesses that are targeted the most are hospitality, retail, care, you know, where they have traditionally have unskilled roles and minimum wage employees. So talking to some businesses in these sectors, particularly hospitality, it is just not affordable anymore. Some of these raises, some of these businesses have huge wage bills to consider. And ultimately what they will do is they will either put their costs up and or they will have to reduce some of their headcount.
But if prices rise slightly, but more workers have higher disposable income, could there actually be a net positive effect on the economy through increased spending power?
Yeah, I mean, there could be some increased spending power, but because of the cost of everything else around housing and energy and food, the pressure on the cost of living is so high now that it's not going to make that fundamental difference. But what it will do is push a big difference on the business, and therefore, you know, have that effect, as I've mentioned, around loss of earnings, loss of jobs, and higher costs. You know, people, the cost of, for example, a cup of coffee will go up to such an extent that it won't be viable. You know, the member of public on the street won't pay what it costs for a cup of coffee anymore. So people will simply stop spending.
And how would you respond to the argument that higher wages might help with recruitment and retention in some of the struggling sectors, like you've alluded to, hospitality and care being two, which I can think of?
Yeah. And, you know, we've always said we absolutely support fair pay, but it's got to mean, it's got to be fair to the businesses as well. You know, it's at the moment, the wage policy isn't grounded in economic reality. It's damaging the very businesses that provide these jobs. Everything is skewed at the moment, which is why we really need to look at that wider domestic economy review to really understand the effects that these rises have on the businesses and come up with a different way. So, you know, okay, we may put minimum wage up. So let's think about then about how we can get some targeted support for the hardest hit sectors. So steps around, you know, VAT, electricity, you know, savings in electricity and assistance around regulation costs, something that can help offset the rise in minimum wage so that you've got a win-win for both the business and the employee.
As far as I know, the VAT agreement is reciprocal with the UK, and that was re-signed last year. Did you have any input into that?
We don't. You know, when we talk to the Treasury Minister about VAT, you know, the conversation is very much that we are intrinsically linked to the UK. Any decisions that are made around VAT will be linked with decisions made through the UK, and we don't seem to have a say in that. We feel that there could be more that could be done around the VAT, that our government could perhaps make some changes of their own and create carve-outs. But it is a conversation that we have had in the past, but not to any avail.
Your snapshot survey gathered just over 100 responses. How confident are you that that represents the full breadth of the island's economy?
So, you know, this was a snapshot. It was, you know, a quick pulse survey just to get that general sort of feel for how this rise will impact businesses. Yes, it doesn't capture everyone, but it certainly captures the general mood and feel for how this is going to affect business. And 87% of the respondents said that the rise would impact them and that they would sort of that it would impact significantly.
And what would you say to people who might argue, well, those most opposed to the rise are more likely to respond to such a survey?
This is not just about hospitality anymore. This is affecting other businesses in terms of wage differentials as well. So what we're starting to see is that it's, you know, this is not just coming from hospitality, retail, care. You know, we're getting responses coming in now from finance, professional services, engineering, where they're saying that the rise in minimum wage is then having an effect on the wage differentials throughout the organisation. So, you know, this is becoming a wider conversation around all sectors.
I'll come back to something which you spoke about before. You've criticised how wage benchmarks are calculated and the Chamber's calling for an independent statistics body. Mm. Why do you feel Statistics Isle of Man is insufficient?
What we need is... So in the UK, they have an Office for National Statistics, and they also have something called the Low Pay Commission. And we feel that we need something around that really looks at the economics of the island. We need an independent economist to be based here that can really look at the providing that kind of input into wage setting, so that it's based on a more robust analysis and not political pressure.
But statistics, you know, something like, sorry, statistics Isle of Man is independent from political influence.
Yes, they may be, but are they actually looking at, you know, are they doing a deep dive into the economic effect of rising wages? You know, where's the deep down analysis on, okay, if we do this, it will have this effect. You know, I know that there's been, you know, they've been looking at the median earnings and how it looks around that. But, you know, we don't have something like a low pay commission or that kind of Office for National Statistics that really looks at what effect these decisions have on the wider domestic economy.
Okay. Obviously, you've highlighted all the risks. What would a chamber-backed approach to wage increases look like?
I think that we've got to try and get to a position where there's fair pay for the workers, but appropriate support for the businesses so that they can offer a fair pay environment for their workers, but also have that targeted support. So targeted support for the hardest hit sectors like hospitality, retail and care. Concrete steps to cut business costs around, if we can, VAT, electricity, regulation, anything like that, that could really help these businesses so they can afford to pay, give fair pay, but they can also afford to run the business.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.